The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 392. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
And the passion play, crumbling away. Yo.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, 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 yo.
Adam Vale.
How you doing? How you doing?
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up, what up?
Right, before we start, Brian, do I need to congratulate you or give you my condolences?
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
I was going to say that for like the end of the show, but yeah. Bye-bye, Boris.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Man, the only Boris I recognize is Boris Yeltsin, man. Fuck this new guy.
That guy had so many skeletons in his closet that was all over the place. How the fuck did he become the prime minister?
It's a long thing. He's got good hair. It's the
He's got good hair. That hair looks fucked up.
He has really good hair.
Talking about.
He was really good at talking smack. Remember, he did a lot of stunts. He did the zip line trick and stuff. He did a lot of cool things before that people were like, oh, you know, he's a little eccentric. He's out there, but you know what? Well, he might do something good, and it didn't work out. But it was fun.
Oh my God!
I missed the hair.
Oh, and that's all for Politidown.
Politidown, you know.
Oh, Politidown.
You know, it's funny, Manny. I was having this conversation today. Even though I've never seen Stranger Things, I was like, now you motherfuckers know about Master of Puppets. We've been listening to that shit for decades, man.
Well, yeah. They don't still know about it because they didn't say the name. He just plays it. So it's not like all...
Yeah, but now the song shot up and stuff.
There's a bunch of songs.
The chorus does play.
No, yeah. It does play. It plays, but I mean, the main song that the girl needs to play to stay alive, she says the name of the artist. I'm like, why not say Metallica then? But like, you know what? This is what's going to protect us. What?
No, Metallica. She's listening to Kate Bush.
Yeah.
No, she's listening to Kate Bush. But that's what I'm saying. She says it. She says the case.
Yeah.
Remember, because that went to that shot up.
Adam, you we're getting close to spoiler territory, man.
No, that's at the beginning.
But what if people haven't seen it yet, bro?
It doesn't matter. Man. It's the first episode. It's not a spoiler. She says it.
All I gotta say though, metal-wise, they did that dude right, because he has a last in line Dio patch on his back. He has Iron Man. His whole room is filled with shit that you would have found.
Now that's a spoiler. That comes on later, like toward the end.
Nah, you see his room earlier. His room. He plays a BC Rich a Warlock guitar, by the
nice.
Way, which is the the really cool looking pointy one. I actually had to do research because I was like, man, wasn't the Warlock guitar created like later on? No, that thing is like 70s old. Shape is literally a really old one. So. It only got really made in like the late 70s, early 80s. So theoretically, he would have had it from 1980, from the 80s on.
Somebody pointed this out on Twitter, which I found hilarious. They're like, it's kind of funny that Megadeth finally releases a new song, but they're overdone by Metallica once again. Because Metallica's like number one right now or something, you know?
An old-ass song.
Dave can't win, man.
But the hilarious thing is that he also, didn't he write up to Master of Puppets?
He has a credit on Master of Puppets, he wrote for the first two albums.
I wonder if he gets a residual off of that shit.
Oh, yeah, he probably does. But thankfully, now I know there's a new Megadeth song. I had to listen to this. It's been a while, since they released new music. Manny saw,
Yeah, we saw them 2021.
Yeah, September, right? right before stuff happened. Actually, it was during it. It was like when things were finally opening up.
Yeah, that was things were starting to clear up, and they were starting to talk about the new hotness.
Yeah. All right. Before we start, we want to give a shout out to someone that we are a fan of on Throwdown. Kind of unfortunate, and he was obviously, but hopefully my man will be all right. We've got to give a huge shout out to Gene Park. If you guys don't know, he announced that he has colon cancer. You know, he thought he had long COVID this entire year. Turns out, you know, it was actually colon cancer. But he's very hopeful that they'll be able to fix it. Like, you know, he's going to go into chemo and all that stuff. But obviously, for, you know, obvious reasons, we on Throwdown hate cancer with a vicious passion, you know. So hopefully Gene will be all right, you know. It's kind of interesting. I was talking to somebody who he's not even a gamer at all, or videographer for Future, and I brought up Gene, and he's like, oh yeah, that's the game journalist that got cancer. Even he knew about it, because obviously this guy engendered a lot of love, like, within the industry and outside of it, you know.
He as soon as he made that announcement, he was trending all over the place. I mean, you know, like, that guy seems like a cool dude. I mean, and it sucks that he's just been going through the ringer.
Yeah.
You know, this whole year. And hopefully he, you know, everything is, you know, turns out good with this. And he's got a long road ahead, but I hope he, you know, remains strong. And, you know, those of us who've had, you know, family members and, you know, lost, you know, to this, you know, we wish him all the luck.
Yeah, shout out to Eugene. We got to get him on Throwdown, man. I think I can make that happen, you know.
Think so? That'd be fun.
I think so, yeah, that'd be fun. He's a good guy, you know. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into some game. A lot of stuff actually happens, but nothing like megaton-ish, but enough where I actually had to, because I got all the notes from you guys, by the way, the Throwdown crew, in the, Discord. So I cut about half of them. So there's a lot of stuff. So forgive us, but we actually, like, let me just focus on the big stuff.
Mini tons.
Yeah. So we'll go down the line here. I guess the biggest one, you know, for obvious reasons, is God of War Ragnarok gets a release date. People, we thought this game was going to get delayed. Everything's delayed. We even heard Forspoken, that game got delayed. So, like, here's another one. But God of War coming November 9th, according to Sony. So we shall see. And obviously, I have to make the obvious statement here. PlayStation 5 did not have a single exclusive this year.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention that it's like, what, a day after Starfield?
No, Starfield is
11-11.
11?
Yeah, but Starfield ain't coming this year, you know? But that's a good segue, though, because, yes, as bad as things have been on PlayStation, it's even worse on Xbox. Xbox hasn't had any exclusives at all, the Series X, but, you know, it's kind of, and we're going to get into some of the bad stuff that's happening with gaming as far as, like, financials goes, but, yeah, God of War's coming. Hopefully it comes out, because this year has been dry, man. Like, especially for me, like, I tweeted about this the other day. I literally have only played 5 games this year. That's pretty bad, you know? Pretty bad.
So far, I've only played 1 new game this year.
Oh, man.
That's Turtles.
Turtles, yeah, that's the last game I played and beat, you know.
Well, what about Sonic? I guess that doesn't count, right?
Because I count it because I am playing it, but I haven't beaten it. You know, I beat it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I guess I'm gonna count it when I see those end credits. I'm gonna count it as a
okay,
yeah, because there is a plot story mode in there, you know. But yeah, it's been a dry year, man. Dry year, you know. But yeah, we'll see God of War. I mean, there's not really much to say about that. That's just the big news because it's a big Sony game or whatever. But it released a new trailer. I haven't seen it. I don't know if they show anything. I think it's a CG trailer, so nothing really to say there. You know, CG trailer, what are you going to do? You know? But yeah, anything? Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, because, well, do we know what other... Well, do you guys know what other game is coming out roughly that same time frame?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next, actually, which is a surprise. Which one are you thinking of?
Adam, you know what it is.
Yeah, the what's called? The Dead Space one.
No, god damn it. Carlos, do you know what it is?
We're going to go down the line right now.
Is it Pokemon?
Okay, are you doing this on purpose?
By the way, the game I'm thinking of is Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
What's, like, the one game that comes out every single year at that time frame.
Oh, Call of Duty.
You know? Oh, Adam gives a fuck. My bad.
No. It's not that we give a fuck. It's just that it comes out like 10 days before. So usually games try to like avoid it because it just needs like a wide berth. So do you think that God of War might be affected by the Call of Duty hype train?
I don't think so because it's two different audiences.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Two different audiences.
But then again, it's just the Call of Duty hype train. Like, it always seems to swallow up most things even, around it.
You know, here's the thing, Brian. I understand where you're coming from, but Call of Duty hasn't really been hyped like that in recent years, you know? But I also will admit, even a less hype Call of Duty is fucking huge. You know, look at the space one, you know?
See, when's the Dead Space one coming? That one, what's it called?
That's not going to eat up God of War sales
either. Callisto? That's December.
Callisto's December? Okay.
Yeah. So, Brian, you think that's going to happen? That Call of Duty's going to swallow up God of War?
It's a possibility in my eyes, and it's slightly concerning because Call of Duty is 28th August, and Dead War is like the 9th of November.
Call of Duty's in August.
October.
Oh, I was about to say, like, hold on a second. That's interesting.
August is usually Madden. Madden comes out.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be interested to see. Obviously, Call of Duty's going to sell more than God of War. You know, that's a given right there. Since multi-platform and it's Call of Duty. You know.
Yeah.
It's
a shooter.
I'm pretty sure if Call of Duty was only on one platform, would still outsell God of War. You know, let's just be real here.
Here's the important question: is Sony gonna do a special console, Mjolnir console for God of War Ragnarok?
Well, they already got a Mjolnir like thing.
Yeah, they got the two collector's editions.
Where are they going to get
the box? Yeah. It comes with Thor's hammer, the game version.
Yeah, the game version, you know? Marvel.
Not Marvel.
The iron version comes with a bunch of shit. But
it even has carved wood statues. No, yeah, it doesn't. It has a steel case game. It has a hard copy of the game.
No, the highest tier version gives you a code. It doesn't come with that.
So because it comes with dice and statues and all this other shit in there. Yeah.
I don't know why people are upset. They make it seem like it's the first time. I remember there was a Forza that came with a jacket. You get a Forza jacket, whole thing, and it's a nice looking car. There's no game in it. It just gives you a code. You know, a lot of them do that for the high end ones. Don't know why. But
I got to go back to the God of War PS5. How are they going to do that if they can't even manufacture regular PS5s?
No, it was just a joke. Okay, a joke alluding to. Yeah. Did you guys see the Xbox Series X? That's a Mjolnir.
No.
No.
Yep, that shit looks dope.
It looks really good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was thinking, so is God of War Ragnarok gonna have like their own like console? But it was just a joke. But I'm excited.
I was gonna say like maybe they have like the faceplates. Since that you can swap them out, so maybe they'll just be those. Because again, I'm sure it's not that expensive to make them. It's just plastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yo, Tony got the black ones, right? You just got.
Yo, why gotta be black? Why gotta be black?
That's what you bought. I don't know.
I actually don't know what the hell you said. I'm looking at this console. That shit looks legit, though. The Thor Love and Thunder Xbox. Adam, what I get that was black?
The plates for your PS5.
Oh, yeah, I got the black. Well, of course you got to get black, you know?
But that's what
the Wesley Snipes always bet on black, you know?
Well, maybe that's what Brian was saying. Maybe they'll make some special God of War stuff.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's a good point. The plates. Yeah. It could happen. I mean, that, you know, he's manufacturing a console that you can't even manufacture, you know?
Right. Just make some plates for him.
Yeah. But, yeah, if this game comes out, I'll be hyped as fuck, you know? Hopefully it doesn't. I pray to the Norse gods that it doesn't get delayed, you know?
No, the fact that they release this trailer, they're getting the hype train.
Boy.
No, why do that? Just to drop a bomb. They would know at this point if it was going to be delayed.
We don't know, man. You don't know.
That'd be shady. And that's shady.
Cyberpunk, man, I don't trust nothing, man. Fucking game went gold and it still got delayed.
Yeah, you know? But that time was just going gold. They released a new trailer for them. This it's not like, oh yeah, it's
this is a CG trailer though. It's not gameplay.
That's
trailer.
What I'm saying. Even more. That costs more money to do that shit.
Gotta have something.
No, the CG trailer usually comes at launch. Usually comes at launch.
Like, yeah, it
when
does.
They launched it, they
so even
they,
there you go.
They you go. Usually even do those at launch.
They want to show that off. So I guess they really think it's gonna hit that date.
I hope, please, we need something, you know?
Yeah, they've been kind of, you know, quiet about God of War for the longest. We haven't seen any. I mean, did we see gameplay trailers? We saw that one, like, real, like, where they showed, like, a lot of cuts.
You mean the one where David Jaffe was like, this looks like DLC. All right, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that one. The one that, well, actually, the one that blew up where everyone said, oh, they reused an animation. That I one, yeah. I'm optimistic, but like everything, I take it with a grain of salt. All release dates, I take it with a grain of salt. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I left the way the story left out. It's, you know, I'm really excited to see where they go to next. But, you know, like I mentioned in the third on your questions a couple of weeks ago, for me, and this is in quotes for me, this has potential to give me a little bit of fatigue.
Oh, even though it's the second game?
Even though it's the second game. Because,
is it really the second game?
It's the second game in this series.
Yeah, it's still the God of War thing. I was thinking about that, too. I watched this, and I'm like, I'm hyped. I'm going to play it. But I don't have that, like, oh I can't wait to
that,
play
yeah.
it. I miss that. I miss that feeling. Like, I don't – there's nothing right now that gives me that.
I'm the same way. Yeah, I feel like Adam is pretty much saying what I feel like. Because, you know, God of War was sort of one of those event type of games for PlayStation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it still is to a lot of people, probably to most people that are fans of the franchise. But to me, it just, you know, it's just a game that I'm excited about, but not something that I'm, like, hyped about. Like, I was for God of War 3. God of War 3 was, like, peak. God of War Remake was still hyped, but a little bit tepid because I still wasn't sure if it was, you know, if the new change was going to be worth it. But, but it was good. But, you know, still, it's still a little bit died down. And obviously, you know, Brian and Manny, I feel like, are on the sort of cooler end of when it comes to God of War cool. these days. On the you know? Cool.
Yeah. No, I'm still pretty excited about it. Again, because I played God of War again on PC. I was like, ooh, this is fucking good. Give me that sequel. Especially after that ending. With Thor, let's just be real here. We could say it now, you know.
Did you try it on your Steam Deck?
I have not. Actually, no, I did. What am I talking about? It was around like 30, 40 frames a second. Not bad. Not bad. You know? Okay. Pretty good, man. Pretty good. All right. So there's God of War. Anyway, next one, as we already alluded to, Skull and Bones is actually real. It's finally coming November 8th. You know?
It ain't a pipe dream.
It's not a pipe dream, man. But my question to you guys is, because obviously this game was announced a long time ago, do you think that ship has sailed as far as excitement goes?
It's a different game. This is a different game from
because my thing is like this game only existed because of Black Flag. Let's just be real here.
And
like,
Singapore.
That mode is dope. But it's like, yeah, but that game's came out like 50 years ago. It's like, we don't care anymore.
I think this is more about strategic sea battles. I mean, when they showed this trailer this go around, it was like, look at the different type of boats from the time period. And it was like a bunch of these ships and talking about resource management and, you know, the PvP element. That in case, let's say your ship gets destroyed, you spawn back at your last camp, but you still have to go get another ship and then go out there. And now other players can see your shipwreck and then go and loot. It's all about fixing up your boat and traveling around and just collecting loot. They didn't mention anything in that about an actual story.
There's no probably story.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But then after one of the devs came out, he said that this is a multi-year supported game, free content. They're constantly going to load
it. Here we go.
But the thing that threw me off is that they said, all right, if you're at a range, a long-distance range, shots toward another ship and you destroy it, you'll get less loot when you get closer. They said you get more loot if you actually raid the ship. Okay, raid the ship. Now, are you going to fight? Are we going to see that? They didn't show any of that. So what does that mean to raid the ship? Is it like, oh, it gets a certain amount of damage and then you get into the ring like in Black Flag and a cutscene starts just showing your crew guys taking loot off? Because they didn't show any of that stuff, and it is all in first person, but then they're selling, but they have all these cosmetic suits that you can get, customize your pirate. I was like, well, when am I ever going to see that, if it's all in first person?
I don't care. So, I lost interest.
I don't know.
Then again, I never had interest to begin with, to be honest.
It's a serious version of Sea of Thieves. That's pretty much how I saw it. I was like, all right, Sea of Thieves is more, jump in, it's funny, it's cool, or whatever. This is like a serious approach toward pirating as to an extent with the sea battles.
Yeah. Hey, Brett, get in here. You're Mr. Pirate. what do you think about this game actually finally coming up? Oh, there he is.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's just shipped. It's just shipped to ship out. They're like, okay, let's take like one of the least actual fun parts about Sea of Thieves and Assassin's Creed. Just make it its own game. No boarding other ships. No, like, getting around and walking the ships or maining the cannons or actually doing anything on the boat or anything like that.
Well, none you could that. Do it. You could have your crew and everybody can play a different part, like in Sea of Thieves. They said you could get all your buddies together and you could all, like, one guy deals with the sails, the other one steers, the other one shooting cannons on the sides.
Yeah, but that's like, it's like an assigned job. It's not like, you know, it's yeah, not like yeah, in Sea of Thieves where you actually run over and, like, lower the sails.
Yeah. There goes that.
Did they show anything with this announcement?
Yeah, there's a whole. They were showing everything. They were showing, explaining all the parts.
Oh, I didn't.
Today. Yeah,
interesting. I didn't
they
see
were
this.
Showing about okay. the ships, and they were showing about the management and how you can track things and other ships and hunt them down and PvP stuff. And there's a lot of PvE, but then you could be hunting a ship, and others could be hunting the same ship. And you could work together and share the loot or not. I don't know. I was more hyped about RoboCop than this shit. So.
Are you gonna play it?
I don't know. I enjoyed Black Flag when it was fun having the crew, but then knowing that I can then jump off and attack and fight and do the whole thing, you know, and play pirate. This is just ship battles. That's all this is. You have to fix your ship, get resources, go back to whatever base. God, there's a RoboCop game coming out now. Some people are pissed off. I'm blanking on the developer, but they're the ones that did that Rambo and that Terminator 2 that came out. Yeah. People were too thrilled, but, you know, they have the original actor. I'm blanking the name, too. Remember Peter Weller. Peter Weller.
Peter Weller.
Peter Weller. Buckaroo Banzai. He's coming back, so he's going to reprise his role as RoboCop, and that was cool. And it had the feels. You know, I loved it. I didn't hear the iconic drive song. I didn't hear that. But they did a lot of the callbacks to the opening for RoboCop 2, where the car pulls up and you just see the foot come up, and he comes out. We don't know yet. It's just a first-person shooter. This is coming out June 2023, so it's way off. It's going to be on all platforms. So
I know that company did a Terminator. I think one company did do a Terminator great game, like pretty recently, and it was actually better than it should have been.
That was them. People bitched because it's something that they only did. They said it was going to be multi platform. They did the PS5 one or whatever, and they didn't do one for Xbox for the Series X. And people got upset about that. But I don't know. It looked good. I liked it. I'm hyped. And if it has that licensing, because that thing, I don't know if they have full license, because music, we've talked about it before, is always separate. And I feel like with all the sounds and all that, if they can incorporate that to get the new feel, it'll be fun. And it looks like it's going to be within that time period still. It's not like all RoboCop modern times. You know, it looks like they are going to throw back. Like, this is in the 80s, and you're RoboCop driving around.
The future. Yeah.
See, now, in what game? There was a PC game that I used to play where you played as a cop, first person. You drive around. You could answer certain calls. You get out, and you can be like, you know, domestic violence calls, whatever. I wonder if it's going to be one of those type of games where you're just RoboCop, and there's, like, different calls coming through the radio, and it's like, oh, there's something at the bank or something. Do you want to do it or not? All right, let's go. And then you just get out. Doom, 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 doom. Yeah. I don't know. It sounds interesting. I'm excited. I like RoboCop. But, yeah. It could be. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah. No, that was already. That
was the one they did before.
Yeah, that's what they were known for. Yeah. The studio.
Oh, my bad. I was muted again. I was just saying that RoboCop, that Cyberpunk, it clicked for me when I realized it was fucking RoboCop. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, Halo. That's RoboCop in space, Master Chief.
Yeah, but it's really the Cyberpunk genre is aspect of it. You know, corporate fucked upness and shit. Mm-hmm. By the way, we're gonna talk about Halo in a bit. We'll see. I got it here. Okay, so this is kind of interesting. So video game sales are set to fall this year for the first time in years since 2015. As a matter of fact, even during the Rona, it was on an upper trajectory. As a matter of, during the Rona, it shot way up, you know. But now things are slowing down, and apparently there's going to be a contraction of 1.2%. That doesn't sound like a lot, but that's still billions and billions of dollars, you know? So, yeah, Chris, what's your take on this, man? You're our financial guy. What's your take on this whole video game attraction? And the article even says that the industry is embracing for a recession, which I guess the whole world is at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything, you know, there's a ripple effect through the markets. Like, so gas prices are up, you know, so, you know, everything else goes up. When petroleum goes up, right, it's not just fuel. It is used in plastics and all this other stuff. So prices of everything go up. Plus, shipping costs go up, right? So then it ripples through the market, and then everything goes up. When things are more expensive, people make more conscious decisions about purchasing, right? They have to figure out, all right, I have a certain budget for gas, a certain budget for food and whatever. So guess what? They cut out entertainment, the leisure. That's the first thing to get axed when you have a conscious budget. So video game sales will naturally go down. Like, I'm sure, movies will get impacted. And
travel.
Yeah, exactly. Anything leisure, vacations get cut, things like that. So that's why they have to make these projections. And they have to account for that the trends are still going down. So I think the U.S. GDP has hit two consecutive quarters of negative growth, right? So when that happens, that's a trigger that you're officially in a recession. So they have to account for that. And it's like, okay, sales are going to drop because all these ripple effects in the market are happening and people are going to spend less. Consumer confidence is down. Consumers are way less sure in the market. There's sell-offs. The Dow Jones is dropping. So all these things affect projections. And that's a natural caution to have. You have to lower your projections, because if you keep them high and say, no, we're not going to be affected by the market, people are still interested in the product, it's still going to sell high, well, you're going to vastly underperform, and then that's going to affect you worse going forward, because then investors lose confidence in you, and then they'll sell off, right?
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because obviously you can't keep that same momentum, you know? Consoles are still hard to come by. There's no games. So, you know, things are obviously going to dip, and things are also kind of normalizing now, so people aren't just stuck home playing games, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good to know. But either way, that recession, I think we're already there, man.
Fucking nuts. For a long time, people thought the gaming industry was recession.
Last
time back in 2007, during that time, it's like everything was crashing. It's like, yeah, but, you know, everybody's buying these video games, PS3, Xbox 360, flying off the shelves.
Oh, nothing stops the nerds.
It seems like, nothing's really stopping. It's just there's nothing to buy, you know?
Well, and also, I guess, you know, we would need to do a more deeper dive, but also we have to take into account that 2020 and 2021 might have seemed like inflated numbers, not only because of the pandemic, you know, everyone was at home playing video games and watching Netflix and stuff, but also we had, you know, a lot of money coming in. We printed the most money in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And we have, and several decades now, and it's like we had an influx of money for people, you know, to use for anything, and I'm pretty sure a lot of them used them for video games. I don't think that, you know, that trend can just constantly keep going, especially like you guys are mentioning, we're heading into recession. I don't know if we got the, Chris, you mentioned that the two quarters already been negative for the GDP. I don't know about this last one, but yeah, that's a lot of, you know, a lot of companies say, you know, say two quarters have negative GDP growth. That means that we're in a recession. And if this last quarter was negative, then, yeah, a lot of stuff is going to go down. I'm not surprised, especially considering that, you know, we're not printing money like we used to anymore. So,
yeah, that disturbs me, too, though. The fact that, like, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's like 80% of the money that's in circulation was printed in the last 2 years. Not good, man. It makes me think of the Weimar Republic. Motherfuckers rolling around with wheelbarrows full of like dollar bills and shit, you know? I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could have, I guess, you know, this is an economic question, but, you know, we could have not done that and hit a pretty much like a severe depression. Or do what we're doing now and having this, you know, this pretty big inflation that we're trying to, you know, bring down.
Yeah. So,
It's changing a lot of things. I mean, in our lives, family lives, my mom was supposed to retire and move to Florida, had all these plans, selling her house. She could definitely get top dollar for the house, but all that money's going to go to another house that's not worth all that. You know, it's right. One of those give and takes. So right now, they're just holding off. They did all this back and forth, traveling to Florida and other areas, looking at properties. And like, I think that when you compare from last year, even a year before, it was like, oh, this is, I don't know, I'd say 250, 250. Like, you know, now it's like 450. It's like, but what's so different? Oh, nothing. Just the demand is there. It's higher and that's it. So you got to pay it. It's like, nah, forget it. Just stay where you're at. Wait till things die down. But that's what they want, right? They want things to go up so that people hold back on the spending and try to bring that balance.
But it's not all... And also, I guess this might be a smaller factor, but it's still significant. There's still a lot of games that aren't coming out. You know, there isn't a constant flow that's sort of, you know, making the industry kind of, you know, roam with excitement. You know, Call of Duty, I feel like has, you know, hit that saturation point where I don't think it can get any bigger than it's already been, and I actually think it's going down a little bit. It might not be going as down as, you know, as like a tanking or anything, but it's still, you know, just there's a slow trajectory down.
One genre that is bulletproof to all of this, and that is the sport genre. Yay! Madden, not great. Every year, subpar, doesn't get great reviews, doesn't matter, but it's the only football game in town with the NFL license, so it goes through the roof. We got NBA 2K that comes out, same thing, nothing special, a lot of microtransactions, doesn't matter, through the roof. FIFA, same thing. So we definitely know that those are going to bring in some money, but that can't carry the industry.
And I wonder how where mobile comes into this, because they're probably the biggest sector, and it's sort of the hardest one to analyze because it's just games and microtransactions.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, and I think that's why so many of these big publishers are pushing their titles over there. You know, with the Diablo, and then, of course, recently with the Division, with their version now coming out on there. It's like they're all pushing it. It's like, why are you doing this? Because they're all hoping that since it's a free entry, they can grab you at the microtransaction level. And like that guy over at Blizzard said, everybody got phones, right? So it's that what if, hoping that if they can just tap into even like 10% of that market, they'd be in the plus, in the green.
Wait, they'd be what?
In the green, you know, like with the money, instead of in the red, in the green. Like just like with the profits, if they can just get into
that. I think you mean in the black.
In the black. I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking in the green.
But like Adam didn't want to be racist, you know?
Yeah. You said it earlier, you had me thinking yesterday. And you were talking about, it's like, why are you going to be black? It's like, you're right. Yeah, you're black. You're right. You know, when you drive, you run on green. You don't go on black.
Yeah, no, it's because, you know, red ink means you're down, black ink means you're good, you know. But you don't even use pens anymore. Those don't exist.
Yo, man, I use pens all the time. Asama checks.
Digital pens, man, you know.
Asama checks with real ink.
Yo, man, you crazy.
It's funny when you can sign your finger. It's like, oh, you need to sign these documents. We emailed it to you. And then you open it up in a PDF, and it's like, right now, use your finger to sign it. It's like, oh,
You know what? You know, not to go off topic, but Manny, like a couple months ago, I was coming off the F train, right, on 49th Street, you know, Rockefeller Center. And there was a lady in there, and, you know, she was just, I don't know, she just started talking or whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah. I was like, I got to come in. Because she was like, it was something about, like, remote work or whatever. She's like, yeah, I got to come into work because I got to, you know, print people's checks. I'm like, what? People still want physical checks? You know, it's like, you'd be surprised, you know?
Oh, yeah. There's people that don't trust the government. A lot of things, they don't trust the banking system.
Yeah.
So they rather have checks, and that way they can go in a check cash place and cash it.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, because you know, whenever I get like offered like a physical, I'm like, man, digital, man, get rid of that bullshit.
One reason, like a couple of the studios that I work at, I actually get kind of fun checks. So like, because I do work for Marvel/Disney, and back in the day, you actually used to get a check from Marvel that used to actually have Spider-Man on it. So I still have one of those checks. And
the check didn't dissolve after an hour, like his webbing. No.
And then the Disney, when it moved to Disney, it actually has Mickey Mouse on it. which is kind of
shooting spider webs. You know,
no, he's not shooting spider webs. It's a little sad because they went to their own. They combined all their payroll systems because the way it used to work is if you work for like 20th Century Fox or if you worked for Disney or any of those other companies, you would get a check that was specific to that studio. Now everything is all put under one umbrella, and now you know just get one Disney. You get Disney bucks.
You get Disney bucks. There you go. All right, man. Go ahead, Adam.
When I used to write checks, there was a site that you can get decorative ones, and I had the Munsters. Grandpa and all of them.
That was awesome.
Herman.
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 He lived in Roosevelt Island. No, not Roosevelt. Roosevelt Island.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He lived in New York
for a long time.
Grandpa Munster. Yeah. Him and Dr. Smith, that's why they always both showed up on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my.
F-Train stops at Roosevelt Island, you know. all right. And we got to talk about this GameStop situation, man. I'm reading this off of Game Industry Biz. GameStop is laying off staff today, according to multiple reports. Axios' Steven Totillo, our boy, reported that the retailer is making cuts across the company, including at its Game Informer press outlet, adding a GameStop CFO, Mike Rue. I can't pronounce his fucking last name. It's also gone from the company, so GameStop is fucking up, you know? And I remember, and I'm pretty sure I said this on Throwdown, I was like, the only reason Game Informer is still around as a gaming magazine is because of GameStop propping up. I didn't stop to realize what would happen if GameStop went under. And, you know, we saw it on Twitter. You know, a lot of Game Informer people, you know, don't have jobs anymore, you know, or are worried they will be fired. So shit is real right now, you know.
But are we? We saw this coming years ago.
With GameStop, But yeah, I just feel dumb. I didn't make the connection. Oh, yeah, Game Informer is going to go down too, you know.
I mean, I'm just really surprised, honestly, that it lasted this long. Because remember, all the issues were like, oh, this is it.
Remember, you know, what happened. They got artificially propped up by those stock dudes.
Yeah, but then also the owner of the Chew, the pet food delivery service, didn't he buy it? He bought it, and he
took over. Yeah, Chew.
Oh, yeah, he's CEO.
Yeah, so then the numbers went up because it was like, oh, new ownership.
Is that the dude who was fired? Is the CFO, is that the guy who was fired?
No, that's a chief financial officer. Okay. I don't know who that was, but this dude owns it now. Like, he's running everything. So
Mike,
I don't know.
Mike Recupero. There we go.
Exactly. But he was like, you know, you're going to change things up. And the joke was like, oh, you can get games and dog food delivered together. It's going to be fucking, oh, God, Chew toys are going to come in your box. This was shocking, though, to hear now, at least, out of nowhere. Because we just finished talking about that, people started going back out into the world. You know, you go to the mall. I went not too long ago to Flicks. That's in a mall. And you guys went out recently. You know, there's people there. There's people there doing stuff, you know, whether a mask, whatever. But there's people out.
But again, as we said, there's no games to buy, you know?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
They have like a whole wall dedicated to Funko. So do they really focus on games? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And I think that Funko shit's probably running its course too. You know, like how many of those fucking things do you need?
I had to stop. It didn't do it for me anymore. And then, not as detailed. I like details.
Yeah. I know a disturbing amount of people who are addicts to that shit.
I don't know why, man.
I don't get it either, man. I don't get it.
Yeah, man.
Those things look fucking ugly.
I hate those things, man. Give me some real figures, man.
You know, real figures.
There's some real figures that look like something. It's like black eyes that look like they're possessed.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Vecna and shit.
Yeah. Chris, you've obviously spoken out a lot about GameStop, but what do you make of this latest news?
Well, I mean, the only thing that the Wall Street Bets things did was delay this. This should have happened long ago.
Yeah.
And this is the inevitable thing. Like, I mean, Reggie got lucky. He got in. He made some money off of guys trying to game a system that's normally gamed by like hedge funds. They made out like, man, he bailed. Everyone bailed, and now the company's deflating. And actually, it should because it's trash. So they're getting what they deserve. It's been a long time coming, and it's unfortunate because you don't want people to lose their jobs, right? There's normal people in here, you know, people write for Game Informer, clerks and whatever. But GameStop is a terrible company.
Yeah,
like it's fucking terrible. So. And no amount, I don't care, the guy from Chewy, I don't care if you gave it to Elon Musk, he couldn't reform it. I don't know what you do with this shit. It's just, it's like unsalvageable, so.
Yeah, no, this was going to happen one day or another, you know? His days are numbered, but I feel more bad for the Game Informer people, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know, maybe somebody else will buy him, you know? We'll see.
Because it's tricky, because one of the things is it does have something that's still relevant, which is video games. So, and they're usually found in malls, which is considered prime real estate for retailers. So it's like, what do you do? And most of them are small. It's not like they were big box stores like Toys R Us and stuff. That's just too much. That's why it kept changing hands, because it sounds great. Oh, toys. Kids love toys. Yeah, but look at the size of these places, like Best Buy and Walmarts. For toys, I'm sorry. There's just only so many Legos and stuff that kids will buy. All the other shit just sits on shelves and rocks. So I don't know. I don't know. But if anything, this will probably go back to the way that we knew of smaller ones, like was it Funko? I'm not Funko Land. Yeah, what's Funko Land? Remember Funko Land and EB Electronics, yeah, when it was just smaller, just little boutiques, you know, just here and there, not so many, and just spread out, because it got to the point that there was like every other few blocks you could find another game. Hell, there was some that in Herald Square. Remember, there was one right across the street from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Manhattan Mall, and then right over next to the train. I was like, shit, why are they so close? But they were gobbling up all the other little shops, so... I think it'll always be around, sort of like Brian. What's it? Game, which is that store chain that's over there in the UK. Is
mm-hmm.
that, yep. That's still around, and they had all kinds of hardships, just like this years ago. And people are like, oh, they're going to disappear. No, they just, you know, downsized and they readjusted their strategy, but they're still going.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, GameStop. We'll see. All right, moving on to other things. So this is
last thing just to relate to this is, remember Tower Records.
Of course.
It's still out. It's just a website. It was just, I was like, holy shit. And maybe that might be a thing. If they do close up their retail shops, it's just GameStop, and you just buy games and stuff like that from their website. It just becomes a website.
Yeah, I don't know. GameStop needs to go away. all right, other news here. So Reed Pop, who organizes Comic-Con and PAX East, is actually going to be running E3 2023. So the show may not be a hot mess next year.
That's something they should have done a long time ago, especially when they decided to open it up to the public. Really, they should have had an established company that does conventions for general audiences to handle this sort of stuff. You know, but they were essentially trying to double dip. And every single time that they tried to do it, they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, because they tried to do it themselves, right? Like ESA?
Yeah, they tried to do it themselves. They tried to still sort of continue and not even take the time to look at, you know, what other, like Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show, do these things. They didn't, rather than look at any way these guys do it, they literally tried to do it on their own, and every single time it was a failure. First time they tried it, what they called it, the progenitor program, where essentially they gave a bunch of companies like essentially free passes to let, you know, general audiences in, and that fucked up. Then they started selling them, and that fucked up. So every single time it's just been an even worse and worse experience from both sides, I would say. You know, as somebody who's sort of sat on both sides of the table, this sort of thing, or I was worked covering the show, you know, going from, a fairly easy time to go and go to all your meetings and things to then, you know, when we transitioned to sort of more industry sort of stuff, and then it's just seeing the other side of that, all the goddamn lines, and imagining how difficult it was, especially for you, somebody like you, Tony, to get your job done.
Yeah, exactly. It was a pain in the ass. I remember, man, I'm not gonna call the company out, but I remember I had an appointment with a specific company to play a game, and I'm playing it, and then they'd literally tell me, okay, you gotta go now because there's people on the line. I'm like, yo, I'm a fucking reporter. Let them wait. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck is this bullshit? You know,
to be honest, if you really wanted to be salty, then I couldn't play this game all the way. They cut my time with this game short.
Yeah, I didn't say that, but I didn't report on that game, needless to say. You know, I was like, fuck that. You know, you're going to 10 minutes and like, oh, no, there's a line of people behind you. Yeah, bro, I'm here. Do you want me to cover this fucking game or not? You know, so I left. I like, fuck this shit, you know. Insulting, man. So, yeah, hopefully this will be good because, you know, Repop, at least from my experience, they do a very good job of actually separating the press and the fans and all that. And everybody has a good time because E3, as it was, not only was it bad for the journalists, it was a little bad for the fans, too. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Imagine you fly 6 hours to this fucking place just to stand in line for 4 hours to play one game, you know?
Yep. And the demo, in a lot of cases, is not even that long. It's just the line is so fucking, you know, fucking long that most of your time is spent, you know, just waiting on the thing. So it becomes an experience that it's like, why the fuck am I here?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Well, you know, you can, you know, there's some nice photo ops and stuff like that. And no, you want this show to be as accommodating to the people covering it as it should be to the, you know, the people that are actually going. You want to give a genuine good experience, not some bullshit. I just went to E3 and stood on a line garbage.
Yeah, right. It's amazing. And of course, I was not surprised by this, man. So this announcement goes out. I'm like, I wonder how long it's going to be until Jeff Keighley says something. This guy did not skip a beat. Like a reminder that we're also going to be having a live event next year. As I said a couple weeks ago, because remember, it was announced that E3 would be coming back. Now they announced, hey, we're going to be coming back second week of June in LA, obviously, Convention Center. And I was like, okay, so it'll be a war between Jeff Keighley and E3. They're going to try to get every company as possible to go to them. And I'm going to say right now, exclusively to them, you know? It's going to get interesting next year, you know?
Yeah, now what? Yeah, like, could Jeff Keighley secure a Sony?
Listen, that'll be huge.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, as far as Microsoft is, they can essentially have a whole convention in their theater.
Which is literally down the block.
So they're not really a factor. They could just be like, all right, we set it up so that we coincide with one of the events. Because they're not even in the building.
Well, if Kojima has something to show off, I'm sure he'll give Keighley.
Yeah, you already know.
Oh, no, yeah. Keighley will get preference. It's no question.
Yeah, but you bring up a good point. This is something I was just going to say. It's like, okay, you have E3 and Summer Game Fest, but that doesn't stop companies from going, yeah, fuck you guys, and we're going to do our own thing. You know?
Yeah, there's also that too. I mean, but here's the thing. I feel like when it comes to Keighley, I don't think he's going to be charging for any of their space.
Yeah, or if he is, it's probably going to be ESA prices. You know,
it'll probably be sponsored. My guess is that it'll be sponsored space.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It won't be a situation where they need to pay for a booth in a giant hall. They'll be like, well, who's giving me the most money?
Yeah. So basically, you know, the reason I also want to talk about this is like, because I know people are hoping, like, oh, we're going to get that 1 week of just nothing but announcements from E3. It's not going to be like that. Because you have two entities doing the same thing, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, basically, the old days of E3, they're gone, you know?
No.
It's different.
But now the bigger question is also, can Jeff Keighley provide an effective experience, a nice experience? Because if he does his Summer Game Fest and people and people don't like what's going on, they'll just drop that shit like a bad habit. They'll be like, man, I'm going back to E3 or whatever.
The E3 committee,
you know.
So, I mean, I want to know what the fuck E3 said to him that he just said, "Fuck you, I'm doing my own shit."
Wasn't it about money? I thought it was something about money. Because he was doing hosting stuff for them. And I think he wanted a bigger hosting chunk. Yeah,
and he was probably hosting stuff for them.
Yeah,
and is it money? I don't know. We'll see.
So this is the part where I take my
money doing it. Of course.
This is the part where I take my weekly victory lap here. It's all about power, man. It's about his dream. It's his dream. It's his vision. It's his everything. When he left, I said this the day he fucking left E3. This dude does not. It's not, you know, oh, like he wanted to do one thing or like just some random thing and he felt bad about it. Like, no, he wants E3 to be him.
Yeah,
he wants it to be his thing, his vision. You know, he wants to be at the mark. He wants to be the Ryan Seacrest of this whole thing. And the crackers. And,
Right, so here's the question: what would you prefer, a traditional E3 or this dude's version of what he wants to do?
We don't know what he wants to do.
I know. Well, we know pretty much how he does things because we've been watching them. So
we've never seen him do a live show. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah. But do you have faith in him? You have faith.
But I don't. Because you gotta understand, old E3 had everyone in line, all the companies. They're not, you know, Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft is always in line. Rockstar, like those companies. Yeah, we don't know about those companies. Those companies might never, you know, work with these guys. So if you ask me, would I prefer the old E3 or whatever is happening now? Well, then I would say the old E3. But that's because I already know that those companies are going to be involved. Yep. So, I'm not surprised. Keely has been petty about this whole E3 competition thing, because every time E3 announces something, whether it's good or bad news, he always, like, a minute later, tweets something out about, like, either site, like,
every time
subliminally. Every time. And today was no different when they announced, E3 is coming back in June or something like that. Same hour he did this, he tweeted the same thing.
Yeah, he's better.
Yeah, so, you know, if he pulls it off, then, you know, good for him. I don't have that much faith because, I mean, he's done it for, what, almost 3 years now? And he's had the Game Awards as well. And I've never seen, none of those events have been mind-blowing or anything like that.
Yeah, but the thing is also, you know, it kind of comes with the games too, because like I said, I think the Summer Game Fest as a show, you know, get rid of the commercials and stuff, as a show it's actually good. It's the problem is the games haven't been that good, you know, so I don't know if that's going to improve either for E3 or Jeff Keighley's show next year, you know. We'll see, we'll have to see about that.
We'll see about that.
But yeah, well, you know, next year is going to be not a console war. It's going to be a gaming show war. Interesting. We live in some weird times, man. All right. Next up, we got some Halo news. So I guess in a effort to salvage this fucking wreck, they're getting a former Bungie director to come back to the fold to fix up Halo Infinite.
While this thing was happening with Ubisoft, I got this other notification from Xbox and says, let's celebrate Bungie today. Is that why?
I guess. Yeah, it says a veteran Halo developer has returned to, quote unquote, help lead the future of Halo Infinite. And the developer is called Joseph Staten.
I know him.
Oh, no, excuse me. No. Yeah. I'm happy to confirm Halo veteran Paul Bertone. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, Adam, I think what you're talking about is they announced that they're going to bring up, like, old demos that were shown. Remember that demo in E3? I think they were talking about this one, the one with the scarab.
Yeah, that's the next thing that we're going to talk about, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the next thing. That. But, yeah, no, but before we get to that, you know, don't jump the gun, you know. Yeah, what do you guys think about, you know, them bringing back a former Bungie director to try to help fix the ship, you know, steer the ship right?
Yeah, they need all the help they can get, so. Just bring the co-op, because this is ridiculous. We're going on a
war. Isn't it a little embarrassing? Like, it you is. Put together 343, you leech all this talent, you kick Bungie to the curve, and then you need Bungie to come back to fix this franchise?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, to be honest, I feel like it's a too many cooks in the kitchen situation, you know? I mean, these issues are probably go all the way back to, you know, when Bungie transitioned out, and what was it, Halo 4? You know, the original director, who was Ryan Payton, former Kojima guy, he left the project. Now, why would somebody just up and leave a project if there wasn't something wrong? And it always has been wrong.
It's been wrong from the jump. Yeah.
Yeah, 343 has had more directors than UK has prime ministers in the same time.
To be honest, they really need, apparently they can't trust anybody who they put on there, so they have to keep throwing, you know, they all keep leaving because it's utterly frustrating. So it's great and all. They're going to get a former Bungie guy. I guess they're going to trust this guy to do it, but they better fucking trust him to do what needs to be fucking done. You know, because it'll just be the same. Because what? Wasn't the last guy a former Bungie guy?
Yeah, a lot of those guys have been former Bungie guys.
No, I'm saying the last guy, the guy who was directing Halo Infinite, wasn't that guy a former Bungie guy too?
Well, it depends on which one, because they've had multiple. Yeah.
Because 343, remember that there were a lot of leftover guys and people that were doing Halo stuff before. So when Bungie went to branch off and do their own thing, Microsoft was like, all right, who wants to stick around to do this? And a lot of these are the people that stuck around.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I feel like I'm sure the shooting in the game seems to be working out pretty good, but it just is the other stuff around it that's not working out very well.
It's the growth of the franchise. It's all wrong. I mean, damn, co-op. Co-op has always been a part. How are you gonna not have that?
Well, to be honest, that game was probably not even done. That game was just they essentially hodgepodged together all the shit that they had, made it look a little bit better, and then they call it Infinite because it was essentially a rolling demo.
that is true, but you know why they named it Infinite, because they wanted this shit to keep going and make a lot of money from microtransactions.
Yeah, they wanted it to be like a service sort of game.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Oh, man. So, man, I don't, you know, as big of a Halo fan as I used to be, I feel like I'm a bigger God of War fan now. I'm a bigger Last of Us fan, even though, you know, there's shit with that. Halo has you know, went so down into my list of, you know, gaming priorities that it's kind of sad. And honestly, it's 343 is a lot to blame. And then their management, you know, how they've managed everything. It's just sad because, you know, Halo was a franchise that, you know, a lot of people were hyped about. And, you know, you still got your people that, you know, I see it in the timeline. A lot of people was like wanting to play Halo Infinite for the multiplayer, and that's fine. Yeah. But, you know, for me, that magic has, you know, dwindled.
Well, there's one thing that we know. Microsoft is never going to let this just die. We're never just not going to see Halo. They're just going to keep working on it until they can get it back to its glory days. It's a big franchise for them.
Cortana is literally in every Windows PC at this point, so
it'll
still live there at least.
She'll live on there.
They just gotta bring this co-op. They gotta bring the co-op.
That's not gonna save this game.
No, it's not gonna save it, but it'll bring some people at least back to play the campaign. Not just us. I know a lot of other people that played the games, remember? Right? So we just play multiplayer. No one wants to do the campaign because we're waiting for the 4-player co-op campaign.
I mean,
they gotta do it.
That's what me and Tony have been waiting.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. This is months and months and months. They made it seem like, oh, it's going to take a little longer. We're just going to get the multiplayer out for it. No, that's bullshit.
Yeah, this game, I don't think anything can salvage it at this point. They fucked up. And it's crazy because it was a very important game for Xbox Series X, you know, look what happened. Delay, and then when it comes out, it's not even finished.
I think how things probably would have been different if it came out finished. If that was the one finished game that they had, that could have been a game changer. People could have been talking about it the complete opposite. Like, oh, well, at least they got Halo.
Yeah, well, that and definitely didn't end up happening, you know? Oh. It is what it is, man. All right, and obviously the other thing, and you guys need to put me onto this shit, because, there's a Halo 2 E3 2004 playable level, and, like, people are hyped for this. Explain this to me.
So... That E3 you're talking about, there was a level that was shown for Halo 2, and it was a campaign mission where they're going through the city. I forgot which city it was, but, you know, there was a scarab, you know, going through, and it looked fucking nuts. You know, that everyone lost their minds. It's like, oh, this isn't, you know, quote unquote, this is next gen type stuff, you know, kind of things we would say today. And everyone who watched that, who was a Halo fan, still remembers that demo to this day. And apparently, you know, eventually, when the game, when the game came out, it wasn't there, and the reason was because the hardware couldn't handle it. And I think they're running it on PC, if I remember correctly, when they showed the demo at E3. But it turns out that mission or that level, it was never in the game. So, that's where, and it's always been infamous. It's like, you know, it's that, you know, scarab mission from E3 that, you know, everyone always talks about. So they're apparently they're gonna bring that into reality with this, and people are going to be able to play it apparently. But still no co-op for, you know.
Yeah, that's just, no. I don't think this is enough, man. They're just scrambling for whatever they can to just tack on. I'm like, come on, man, we got this weapon. Oh, we got this outfit. Oh, remember that one map? We did it. Do it. Play it forever, please.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. And from what I heard, it's not just that level, but I think it's like a lot of, you know, demos and stuff from the past.
Maybe. All this stuff, and who knows? This could be cutting room floor stuff. I was like, what do we have that never made it in?
Yeah,
the game?
This seems desperate to me.
Yeah, you know? We got these.
This seems desperate. Like, they need to rename this game from Halo Infinite to Halo Limited. Like, this shit is done, man. You know?
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
That's my Richard Bailey joke of the night, you know? Halo Limited.
Oh, yes. But, I mean, it's a cool idea when everything's going...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
like you said, if everything was going through... Like, let's say, Perfect World, everything was solid, and this got announced, this is icing on the cake.
Like, yes.
Oh, damn, you already got this great Halo game, and you're giving us this fantasy map? This is... Yeah, exactly. But no, you know, that's not how it is.
What? Yeah, that's not the circumstances. You're getting it under, you know?
It's like you're getting fan service without getting a good, you know, experience. It's, you know, you're still waiting for Forge. You're still waiting for online co-op. You know, a lot of people have been underwhelmed by the seasons. But it's like, hey, you know, we got this level from E3 2004. And
fucking it up.
Yeah, it's like, who's going to be, you know... Obviously, some people are going to hype it up, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean that you're going to get a great game. It's just, you know, if it's fan service.
It's the hiccups. So they released that documentary a few months back. That was a pretty good. They got to release another one after this whole thing is done. It's like, yeah, we launched this console, we had all stuff, then the pandemic, then Halo came out whack. Oh, no. You know what I mean? Here it is. We brought back a bunch of people. We gave them all the cool features on the console. Yo, even, yo, you see Citizen? Yo, he came back. And then we fucked up with the game. Oh, no.
Man, brought him back and everything, you know? Exactly. Man. Ain't that about a bitch. All right, man, let's move on now. By the way, you know, we were talking about microtransactions and shit in mobile games earlier. Yo, I read this shit, man. My head fucking burst. So Diablo Immortal, the controversial game, has apparently... by the way, Brett, is everything all right over there, man?
Technical difficulties. It's like blubbling. All right, what's up with Diablo?
Right. Anyway, so far this game has made... okay, let me go back. So apparently this game makes $1 million a day on microtransactions and has so far made $49 million in said microtransactions.
Because everybody got the phone.
Everybody got the phone. That's fucking wild, man. You know?
Yeah, well, it's a different fan base.
It is, yep.
Well, it's not even. It's
a different demographic.
So many people I knew out in the world that bitch about this still download it and still trying it out because it's free. So
it ain't that free, apparently.
But that's what people want to pay because then it sucks you in. Because like I mentioned before, it does provide a solid Diablo experience. It's not half-assed. You prop it up, you grab a game controller, you're playing. This is it. This is awesome, especially if you have a tablet or something. So I can see how people got pulled in. It's not a half-assed version. And I think that was the thing. A lot of people thought, oh, this is going to be just press this one button, //, magic button, /. All right, that's it. Diablo bullshit. No, it's a full thing with the outfits, the armors, the tiers, the system. Yeah, but they get you into microtransactions, and people are paying. People are paying.
It's insane. From what I understand, like, after you hit like the level cap, the microtransactions get brutal. Like it gets really bad. Yeah,
I wouldn't put it past them.
I mean, you haven't gotten to that point.
No. Because I know my limits.
Okay, yeah. Because apparently that's what happens. Like once you hit that level cap, like when you hit the end game, that's when things get crazy.
It's higher level gear and items, and it's like, oh wow, you want this legendary? You want this super ultra rare weapon? And they have certain things that are just timed for like most game doing now, certain timed items. Like, well, you know, it's like, oh, you only have a certain amount of time to get this. And it's, you know, what, $5 or something.
Yeah. And I don't really know the exact number, but I know we talked about a story about some streamer spent like $20,000 or something on stream and shit, trying to get one armor, you know? It's insane, man. This is, to me, this is fucking disgusting, man.
I saw that with Lost Ark. Lost Ark, people are hardcore into them. Thousands of dollars. Well, what's his name? Shroud got hooked on that shit. The dude that was doing all the Halo, Call of Duty shooters. And he was spending thousands on his live stream.
Jesus, man. This is why these games exist, to lure in, the whales, basically, For people who know whales are, what are termed the people that spend a lot of money on these mobile games.
But there's that, and then there's completionists. And everybody knows them. There's always something. It doesn't matter. It could be out in the real world or in the virtual. And you see all these cool outfits, all these cool weapons that are in your certain character class. You gotta have them all. Even if you're not gonna use it, you gotta have it all.
Gotta have some.
Yeah.
Gotta have some.
Fucking wild, man.
Also, for anyone else who's wondering, a whale also signifies the biggest mammal on Earth.
This is also true. Scary motherfuckers,
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Those videos of them jumping out the water.
They be hunted for whales.
you got to see. The Northmen. Was it? No, it's not the Northmen. It was the Northwater. I think so. Damn, forget it. Never mind.
There was that other one. The Terror. That was it called, right? It was about the ship that got lost in the polar ice caps.
There was one with the dude that was in Batman as a penguin. What's his name?
Danny DeVito.
Colin Farrell.
No. The Batman, the new one. Colin Farrell is in it. It was a show that just came out this year, and he's part of a whale hunting. And he.
Oh, is it? The Northman.
Yeah. There you go. That was fucking cool.
Like the Viking movie.
You see, it's
North. It's a show, isn't it?
Northwater. I think it's Northwater. It's a show. It's a series. Yeah, and they go hunting for whales, and you see a big whale, and they're on a little boat, and they're jabbing at it, trying to kill this monster whale.
How the hell are they gonna carry that shit back?
They tug it. It's like it floats up, and then they just drag it to the ship, and then they put the. They show the whole process.
Man,
it's a period piece, and they're hunting for whales, but then he's also a villain. So. Gotta watch it. It's on FX.
But yeah, video game whales in this case is fucking, but fucking crazy. But this is why they made this game, This is why it exists.
But it just proves it. They were right. So they got shit on for the entire time, right? All these years since that announcement. And look what happened. It cashed in. So who's laughing now?
Yeah, I guess. Fucking wild. All right. And the last story of the night. So this is kind of upsetting. So apparently we were going to be getting remasters of Red Dead Redemption and Grand Theft Auto 4, but apparently they were canceled because of how bad GTA Trilogy did. Now, the games haven't been the story's been updated, they've been put on pause, right? And apparently the games may come out after GTA 6, but GTA Trilogy, we heard all the, we talked about all the controversy with that. It did so badly because Rockstar thought they had another hit on their hands, so badly that they're,
it's that same studio that's going to do them?
It did so badly. You wanna know why it did so fucking badly? It's because you guys put absolutely no fucking effort in it.
Lazy ports. So was it the same?
It's a lazy ass port. So we're gonna do another lazy.
Yeah, I don't know, Adam.
To be honest, we should be happy they don't do a fucking lazy ass port like that shit.
If it was the same studio, then thank God that they didn't
fuck
do that
them,
shit.
Man. What was it, Grove Street Games?
Yeah.
Something.
No, we don't need them doing some more bullshit.
No, we don't need, I'd much rather have nothing than have the garbage that they put out for that shit.
Yeah, I agree.
But they would have made Buko bucks with that first Red Dead Redemption, because that never came to PC.
Yeah.
So
maybe we'll get it, but it's...
Well, hopefully not by that.
As long as they get, only if, I would only say this is fine, if they get some money on there that really knows their shit. Somebody that really does a good job of actually doing this shit, as opposed to the half-ass garbage they put out.
Hey, I have an idea. How about Rockstar? They're not developing any games, How about that?
How do you know they're not developing any games? To give you an idea how long they've been working on Red Dead Redemption, Chris worked at Red Dead Redemption 2. Chris was working at Rockstar in 2010, and they were working on that shit, right?
The game came out
2012, Chris?
Yeah, 2012, 2013, and they were starting work on Red Dead Redemption 2.
Rockstar is the George R. R. Martin of video games, you know.
But they never used to be like that. It's amazing how they slowed down. Like, whatever happened to Midnight Club and, you know, Adams Always Wants Table Tennis. Like, they did a bunch of the titles, and they're all gone. They just, like, they're just bags of money falling at them. They're too busy counting all the fucking shark cards they get.
I'm telling you, that's what happened. When they saw the money coming from that, they said, all hands on deck. What about these other kids? Cut the shit. Go in the other room. Start making.
Go in the other room.
This GTA Online. Like, what? I don't know. We're making this. You could do races in this game. You know, just cut the bullshit. Come on. We're going to put more cars and stuff. And that's what we get. People don't understand. It's like, if you don't follow, if you're not part of the propaganda emails, which is what they call it when they send them out, they're always releasing more vehicles and outfits and new scenarios and actual storylines.
Every single week is something, you know?
It's always something. So it's always not something. People playing. It's not like people playing the old shit over and over again. There's new content. So you got to give them props for that. That's where all the development's going in.
Yeah. All right. Game is paying,
like 100-something gig install.
It's fucking crazy. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. That's the news. By the way, I got to say something. This is not related to the show, but this was fucking me up halfway through the show. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
This just came down to why. I mean, I saw this on Twitter, but now I'm getting it on my phone. Former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe rushed to hospital after possible shooting. He was shot.
Former Prime Minister.
Where was he shot?
In Nara, which is a Japanese city. So Japan, you know, doesn't really have guns like that. Yeah. And apparently he was shot in the back and he's not responsive. So that's fucking brutal. I'm telling you, this world is fucked up right now.
Well, you know? I mean, yeah, like, because the way Japan works is that, especially when it comes to guns, like, you have to go through a lot of stuff. And they don't even allow handguns.
No, they don't.
It's mostly just hunting rifles.
Yeah.
So if somebody's shooting at him,
Yeah, apparently he was doing it. He was doing, you know, because it's daytime in Japan right now. He was doing a speech, you know, and somebody shot him in the back.
I think there's campaigns going on, and I think he's campaigning for someone or something like that.
Yeah, because he's the former. Man. Yeah, that's fucking wild, isn't it?
I'll tell you one thing about Japan is there are a lot of fucked up cults over there.
Yeah, Japan has issues, man.
Yeah, they have like these really weird, wacky cults and stuff over there. I mean, years ago there was the
I remember
in the train station, the gas attack that was by one of those big cults that were over there. So
I mean, it's not gaming related, but it is because obviously a lot of games that we love come from Japan, and it is good to understand that culture and keep up with it. You know, just to know about that, but pretty wild, man.
If there's any Americans that are like want to point fingers, like, look, there's shootings everywhere now. It's not just here.
No. But in Japan, it's way more rare. As far as gun violence goes in Japan, it's literally in the low two digits, if anything, possibly like, one digit.
Just tying it back to games, like I remember in Yakuza 3, like that was actually one of the plot points, like the villain had a gun. It's like, because that's so kind of unheard of. Obviously, in later Yakuzas, everybody has fucking guns now, but
especially a handgun.
It was a handgun.
They're technically not guns. They're fake guns that in a certain world, like in a certain kind of dimension, they become real ones. that makes any sense?
You mean Persona? That's why Japanese gun, like that's why in Japan you have so many gun enthusiasts over there. But they're all based in the realm of, you know, they have an interest in guns, but it's usually like airsoft guns. So you could actually have like an airsoft gun walking around with one openly in Japan because everybody knows that the gun is already fake. They don't need to have red things on them or anything like that because nobody has handguns there. People trust in the law over there.
I'm just reading this now. The suspect in the shooting of former Japanese Prime Minister Abe Shinzo has been identified as Yamagami Tetsuya, a man in his 40s. Asahi and others reporting the weapon was a sawed-off shotgun. I.e. a weapon that a civilian could secure under Japanese law.
Oh, okay. Oh, so there you go. Yeah, you can get a shotgun, a hunting shotgun.
Well, maybe
shotguns here. That's kind of
maybe.
Wild.
And you know what's crazy? You said that a civilian can obtain, probably not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
After this,
That's it. You motherfucker ain't getting nothing. That out.
And tomorrow, breaking news: all your shit confiscated. You're going to jail.
Mm-hmm. They move quick over there, man.
Damn, a sawed-off shotgun.
We
wanted to make sure there was no chance of missing that shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow.
Yep.
Fuck, man. So I don't know what's gonna. Again, he's not responsive. So.
In the back. In the back.
Yeah. That's where your lungs are back there, you know?
All the goodies, man.
Yeah. Fuck, man. So hopefully he pulls through, but I don't know, man.
I don't know the politics, but this dude must have really hated him. I don't know what his platform was, but it was enough to cause this guy to sort off shotgun.
That's nuts. Godspeed to him, man. Yeah. And with that, I guess, you know, wrap it up here. Do we have anything to plug?
Yes, for me, I have done 3 illustrations for Inverse Magazine. They're doing the,
make that
the
money.
You know, in the, well, Thor Love and Thunder has just come out, as we're going to be coming out this Friday, or is
Brett
out.
Brett already saw it.
Yeah. Oh, Brett already saw it. So yeah, that's already out and everything. So the magazine wanted to do an issue devoted to Vikings. So I did 3 illustrations, one about the history of the Jane Foster Thor and its beginnings as the What If comic. One story about the findings of not long ago about a female Viking warrior that archaeologists found fairly recently. And also about the game... the chess game, essentially Viking chess, that essentially was destroyed by regular chess. So it's an ultimate.
Yeah, is that the game they play Valhalla?
Yeah, it's probably Hein something or whatever. I can't remember the name of it.
It's that weird game. Yeah,
it's the gridded board, but the center has a group, and then the outside has the attacking group. So yeah, there's a story about that and how essentially the history of that game sort of. Changed around. But yeah, 3 stories, and if you're ever want to check out Inverse Magazine, go to hit inverse.com, and then you can find the articles. They're all set together in one little set. So there should be one more article that's going to be showing up to a few more articles for tomorrow. But yeah, all of mine are all up. So it was a lot of fun to do that. So there you go.
You can check out your Wolverine one too.
The oral history of Wolverine. By the way, the Jane Foster story was also written by the same guy who did the oral history of Wolverine. He also interviewed me for his Ninja Turtles podcast.
Ah, very cool. Very cool.
So it's all connected.
You know, what's the name of the Turtles podcast? If you happen to know, because you were on it, you know.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Unfortunately, I can't remember what it was.
we'll give it a plug next time. good stuff. All right.
Let's get this. It is called Turtle Tracks Podcast. You can actually listen to it on SoundCloud.
Ooh.
So they've done a lot of he's done a lot of interesting interviews. He's done one with two of my former directors, Chuck Patton and Roy Burdeen. So a lot of really great interviews. He's got another one coming up with Rob Paulson, the voice of Raphael, and all that stuff. So yeah, good stuff. He's a cool dude. Check him out. And also, if you want to check out Inverse Magazine and the 3 articles that I did, those are all on my Twitter. So
good stuff. All right. Adam, do you have anything or are you guys on hiatus right now?
Yeah, still on hiatus till August. That's the I Am Negan, the Walking Dead podcast that we do over at the Coalition. So you can find it on Spotify, iTunes, and all other places. And we will be back in August for Tales of the Walking Dead. That's been
Tales
all with Terry Crews and a few others. Man, so curious to see how this one pans out. Might be trash, may not, but whatever, we'll cover that. And that's in August. Go ahead, if you're interested, follow us on there. And maybe Carlos, at least for the first episode, let's watch it and see if you want to jump in on that one. Might be good. No, don't know. We'll see.
All right, man. That's going to do it for Throwdown. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping and flying. Throwdown Show is on every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show towards Throwdown Show. And you can also visit throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And of course, if you have been watching us on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Oh, see you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Fallout 76 is the real deal, people.
And
Brett's not here to hear that. You
know? Yeah, at least Brett got to hear it before the show, so he's happy about that. And, of course, Brian Manjoma.
Funny how we got Diablo Immortal sales value, but still no sales figure on the other game.
Controversy. It's interesting, man. Anyway, people, we will see you on Sunday. Later.
Later.
Peace.